Test 1, 2, 3, 4. Test 1, 2, 3, 4. Test.
All right.
Is your mother taking a bath, or?
Yeah, I think she's doing her, whatever her prima donna stuff is. whatever that may entail. Well, what to ask first? Let's see. All kinds of things. Let me ask one. I'd be interested to know about your salvation experience. How you came to know the Lord.
Well, I was living with my grandmother in Tacoma, Oklahoma, and she was very religious, went to church twice on Sundays and once on Wednesday night, and I just, you know, started going there. And then when I moved to California, we moved with an aunt, and we went over to Riverside, California. And then later on, we were in San Francisco. Well, I was in Berkeley, but I went to church over in San Francisco with an aunt and uncle, Uncle Everett and Aunt Leela. Went to church there. Played the piano in church and organ once in a while. That's about it. You know, we were always Church of God and very religious.
Who taught you the piano and organ?
I started taking piano lessons in Colton, California. I can't remember the lady's name, but I took piano from her. And then when I moved to Berkeley, California, I was there and listening to the guy play the organ. He said that he was leaving. He was in the Navy, mm-hmm. and he was leaving, and he said, "Why don't you start playing?" So I said, "I don't know anything about the organ." So he taught me a few times, and I started playing, you know, so I played fairly consistently there for a while.
Because that's almost a lost art. There's very few people that can really know the organ.
Well, this was a simple organ, I guess. In the church, it had been there for a long time. And they didn't have anyone else that played. Mm-hmm. So I sort of inherited it, I guess. And then, you know, by the time I had left, they had other people there, so.
Now, when Mama met you, did she go to that church and hear you play the organ and stuff?
Well, your mother went to a nursing school over there, and I was in Berkeley, but I had met her down in Southern California years before. I guess she was 15 and I was 17. Mm-hmm. I was ready to go to school, and little did I know that her aunt had been one of my Sunday school teachers once upon a time. But anyway, we got up to Berkeley and San Francisco going to the same church, because her nursing school is only a couple blocks away. Mm-hmm. And we would go to my aunt and uncle's house on Sundays, because that's what they did. They would invite people over, have lunch with them. Mm-hmm. And so that's when Charlotte and I met. And anyway, the rest is years of history.
Now, I know that Charlie Brown was a pretty good friend and influence on you. Tell me a little about him. I know he did some Bible studies.
Charlie Brown and I had met in Memphis, Tennessee. He was down in Houston. No, not. Yeah, Houston, at a cancer institute. And he got invited up to Memphis. And he helped me. I was dean of a college, and he was an assistant vice president or something. But he was responsible for getting grants and stuff like that. So I went over to his house one Sunday and was working on a grant. And we started, you know, a friendship. And then we started playing golf together and whatever. But then he took off and went to Tulsa to...
Was it Oral Roberts?
I believe it was Oral Roberts. Mm-hmm. And he was up there for a couple of years. And then something happened that was not a good situation for him. So he was back in Memphis. Then he came to Oklahoma City, and I knew him here. Mm-hmm. I have to think about it a little bit because we were very good friends, and his wife is still up here in Edmond. She goes to the same church we go to, mm-hmm. which is... Crossings Community Church, which, you know, way back when it was a Church of God, and then later they changed the name to Belle Isle Community Church. Mm-hmm. And then even later they bought land up north of town and constructed a church and school and stuff, and so it's now Crossings Community Church, but it's still, you know, the same minister.
Mm-hmm. Charlie Brown have Bible studies in his house?
I think he did. We never went to his house for Bible studies, but he was on the President's Round Table at Mid-America Christian Mm-hmm. University, and he was also on the board of directors, but then he died. And anyway,
now, I remember several years ago at the reunion out west, you were baptized.
Oh,
lawn officiated.
Yes, yeah, and you assisted.
I assisted. I was in the water.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. What led you to that?
Oh, I don't know. I figured I was getting up in years and I better get baptized. So I did, you know, we were in the swimming pool there in Colorado, I believe. Mm-hmm. And all the family was there, and so... I got baptized, but also, one of the granddaughters got baptized at the same time.
I think so. I think Lon actually baptized one or two of his kids.
Yeah,
and I think in
right.
the cold river.
In the river.
You had it easy. You were
it was warmer where I was. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember that. Well, I've just admired how you've lived and displayed your Christian faith in these later years. I guess I've noticed it more and more now than ever.
Well, you know, there were a few years I was not too devout, but Charlotte has been always a very faithful person, and she's helped me out and helped a lot of people out.
Well, you always made sure we went to church everywhere we went.
Yeah.
We were always in church and sat as a family.
Yeah, we've gone to several churches, you know. When we got married, we were in Germany, and you know, there the chaplains had services, and then we've gone to several different places because we wasn't the Church of God anywhere. So we went to several different churches, Presbyterian and
like a congregational one.
Pardon?
When I was a real little, maybe second grade, I remember sort of congregational Methodist.
Congregational, right. We went to congregational.
Yeah, of course, Memphis was every Presbyterian and on like that. Well, what got you into public health? We'll switch gears here. What got you into public health in your career and profession?
I was an undergraduate at University of California, Berkeley. And, you know, didn't really know what I wanted to do. I'd considered going pre-med. But then a friend of mine said, hey, why don't you go check out public health? They've got a great program in environmental health. So I went over there, and most of the university was very impersonal, and you know, they didn't care whether you dropped your shoe or whatever. But this lady over there in the dean's office said, I asked her about the school. She says, oh yeah, could I help you with your application? And I thought, my goodness, she'd help me with my application? Sure. So I signed up, and in 2 years I had a degree in environmental health. And of course then I was in ROTC, so I got commissioned and took off, and incidentally 4 days after I got married I left for overseas, and then Charlotte came over about 4 or 5 months later. But anyway, I was in Quartermaster Corps then, and didn't have anything to do with public health, really. So we came back to California, and so we started going over to the same church we had gone to, and I started working with the Oakland City Health Department, doing inspection of everything, housing and people and whatever. But after about 17 months of that, a lady that was in the lab, and I was down there one time with some samples, and we got to talking about school, and she said, well, why don't you go up there? And I said, oh, I will one of these days. And she said, you do that today or tomorrow? And so I thought, well, okay. So I drove up to Berkeley and asked about a program in health education. And they said, well, you better hurry, because our deadline is like tomorrow or something. So I filled out the application and filled it out for a scholarship. And here within, you know, I forget how long it was, but it wasn't very long. They gave me a scholarship and everything, so I went to school at Berkeley after 17 months in, well, let's see. I was in 17 months in Salinas, and then I went to school, got my master's, and then I went to be the director of health education in Monterey County Health Department. Incidentally, that's where you were born, was Salinas, yeah, California. Mm-hmm. But we had two children, Lee Kurt in Germany, and then Lisa was in Oakland, California. Mm-hmm. Then you were in Salinas.
Yeah.
But then after being there a year, I decided to go up to a meeting in San Francisco, and a friend of mine that had been a classmate of mine in Berkeley told me about, that he had a job in the state of Wyoming, in Cheyenne. So I told Charlotte that I was going to go take a look at this thing in Cheyenne. She wasn't wanting to move very badly. Well, let's see. So I think she said, but I don't even have the drapes up in the house yet. So anyway, I went to Cheyenne and liked it. And so I quit the job in Salinas, and we took off and went to Cheyenne, lived there. I was assistant director of health education for the state health department. And then, a couple years later, we moved to Laramie, mm-hmm. Wyoming, because they were starting a visiting nurse service, and so I helped them out, I guess. So we were there a couple of years.
Yeah, Lon was born there.
And Lon was born there. Mm-hmm. And then I got a chance to move to Bethesda, Maryland.
It's a little
ways away. Yeah, National Commission on Community Health Services. Well, when I was in Laramie, I was working, but I was also going to school at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I was a candidate for a PhD in educational administration. I thought, well, this is a temporary job in Bethesda, Maryland, National Commission on Community Health Services. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'll come on back and complete my degree later. Well, by the time the commission was over, which was 4 years, my major professor, something had happened. He died or did something. Anyway, so I was looking around and got a chance to go to University of Michigan to give a talk. And while I was up there, I got recruited into the program in public health education, public health administration. Mm-hmm. And so I was up there for 2 years.
By then you had Pardon? Five kids, because Lori was born.
Let's see, Lori was born in Washington, D.C.
So you were up there a couple of years?
Well, yes, and I moved all of you up. I just bought a new house up there.
Ann Arbor.
Right, in Ann Arbor. And so I have to give your mother credit, because with five kids, and I was on a scholarship up there too. Mm-hmm. So she can tell you about eating beans and stuff, but
he's poor.
Pardon?
We was poor?
We weren't exactly living very high off the hog.
We were starving, though.
Anyway, so after 2 years, then I went to University of North Carolina, and I thought we'd probably retire there, but after a couple of years, three or four years, there were some personnel changes. Mm-hmm. So I went to University of Tennessee, take a look what they had going over in Memphis, mm-hmm. at the Health Science Center. Well, they didn't have anything in public health, but they had an idea about allied health. Mm-hmm. So they hired me.
Joe Johnson recruited you out, didn't he?
Yeah, Johnson. And he hired me, and I set up the school there. Mm-hmm. And we were there 10 years, and I had a chance to come back to Oklahoma where I'd grown up. Mm-hmm. And I was second dean here, and I was here, I was dean for 12 years, and then I decided to go back into teaching. Mm-hmm. And so I spent another 2 years, and then I retired.
So you finished up teaching?
Yes. So anyway, it's been a good life.
Pretty good.
Meanwhile, I had stayed in the reserve, and your mother will tell you how she didn't like it very much, except now she does, because we get all our medical expenses and stuff through the military, through the TRICARE for Life, they call it, and Medicare. And so, you know, we have all our medications for free and stuff like that, so.
I remember in Memphis, you used to put on your uniform and go to, I guess, reserve.
Yeah,
meetings,
I'd go to reserve.
On a fairly regular basis.
Yeah, I'd go there about every week or maybe 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of weeks in the summer going to Fort Benning or wherever.
Yeah, summer camps. Yeah, because I remember that one time you came back, you'd made some, done some pottery or some, you made the Christmas figures. What do you call that? The Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the camels and all that.
I made?
Yeah, I think you made a friend there at the camp, and he was into making.
Oh, I see.
Casting the pottery.
Could have been.
The nativity scene, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, you brought it back, and then me and the other siblings tried to paint them, stuff like that. Remember, you did. Did you do some? Let the clock do this thing here.
It's 11 o'clock now.
Did you do some adjunct teaching too over at Memphis, Memphis State at the time?
Well, let's see.
Seemed like just some night teaching a couple of times.
I did some teaching up at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore.
Yeah.
When I was in Bethesda, and then let's see, down at Chapel Hill, I didn't do any adjunct teaching down there. I did in Memphis, mm-hmm. though. I'd go out to University of Memphis.
Memphis
it
State
was Memphis time. State University.
Tiger High, Mama.
Anyway, I taught out there in, actually it was in political science.
Oh my goodness, okay.
I don't know. Anyway, I was teaching a course in health administration.
Yeah.
And did that for several years when I was there. And then came over to University of Oklahoma. I didn't do any adjunct teaching here. So I was adjunct faculty at Johns Hopkins. I was faculty at University of North Carolina, faculty at University of Tennessee, plus adjunct faculty at Memphis State, and then over here at University of Oklahoma.
Now, you were born in California, but I always think of you as growing up in Oklahoma. As a matter of fact, I remember when I first was doing my passport, I was thinking you were going to tell me you were born in Oklahoma, and lo and behold, it was. So tell me, how did you transition to being growing up in Oklahoma?
My dad and mother met in California, and I was born out there in 1932, and then we moved back to the farm up here in Oklahoma, we were there about 2 years, and my dad and mother got a divorce, so I went to live with my dad in California, and he got killed in a car wreck in Pomona. And so then I went to live with my mother and stepdad in El Paso, Texas. And my Aunt Pearl, is from Southern California, would come and visit once in a while. But she and my mother didn't get along. But anyway, to make a long story short, the judge up in Alva, Oklahoma, told my Uncle Everett and the preacher to go get me down in El Paso and bring me up to live with my grandmother. And so I lived with my grandmother and two girl cousins up there from about 1937, 36, 37, I guess. And so we were up there, and I started school when I was about 5 years old and went on through up to the seventh grade, and so we moved to California for a year. Pearlie, who was one of my cousins, got a job as a teacher down at Homestead, Oklahoma, and Betty went to Anderson, Indiana, to school. So we were in California with my aunt. I don't know why, but we moved back for 2 years to Oklahoma again. So I just went seventh grade in California, but then up until I was a sophomore in high school in Tacoma. So then we moved to California, lived with my aunt, and then I finished school, went up to Berkeley to college, and then the rest is history.
You worked in some of the wheat harvests there in Oklahoma?
Yeah, I'd worked with my uncle, who lived in Carmen, and we'd worked the wheat harvest. We'd start out in Oklahoma, and then we'd go on up to about South Dakota, and about that time, it's time for me to go back to school. But yeah, I'd drive a tractor pulling a combine, and so we had, you know, a bunch of boys or men about my age and older, and so we'd go up there and. Anyway, we did that, and from the time I was about 15 until I had to go to the Army
Mm-hmm. I remember years ago you gave me a denim jacket that I think you had from Oklahoma, I think.
Could be.
I was able to wear it when I was about 16. Doesn't fit now, but I think you'd had it all those years.
Yeah, probably did.
Still got it around. I was thinking you'd said you got it somewhere during the time you were harvesting and things like that. Now, of course, you used to fly airplanes. What got you into that?
Well, I was in Hayward, California, where we lived when Lisa was born. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Hayward is right a little bit south of Oakland. And there was a guy who was saying, "Why don't you learn to fly?" And I said, "Well, I don't want to be an airline pilot." He said, "Oh, go up to at a certain school and let them fill it out for you." So I did, and started flying airplanes. Of course, your mother didn't know anything about it.
Really?
For a while. And it was pretty inexpensive then, because the GI Bill would take care of 75% of it, I think. And I'd paid 25%, which is, I'd only pay about $1 a week or something like that. And when I soloed the airplane, and then I finally told her about it, and so I got her to go up a few times with me. Mm-hmm. And then we just started flying. But I got my private license in Hayward, California, and then there were times when I didn't fly. Then I got up to Cheyenne and started flying again. And I remember I was going down to North Carolina to give a talk, and so I was starting down there, but it got foggy on me when I got around to Toledo, Ohio. So I went back to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and decided to get an instrument rating. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and then I got a commercial rating. Let's see, when was that? I guess I got to Oklahoma and got my commercial rating. But then I stopped flying about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
But I had 1,500 hours.
Wow.
But your mother and I flew to several places, California, to here and there and yonder.
Well, I remember in Bentonville, you visited a time or two. You flew to the Bentonville Airport. When you took me up to UT Martin, you flew me.
Yeah.
From Memphis Airport up to Union City Airport, Phil Watkins came and got me.
I flew Lee Kirk down to Houston
a
couple of times, and we flew up to Minnesota to watch Lon get married.
Okay.
That was just, well, I was having some heart trouble then, but I didn't say much about it.
Yeah.
But I flew back, let's see, I guess I was living in Memphis then. Mm-hmm. Flew back to Memphis, and then I got in the hospital and had open heart surgery. Yeah. They told me it would be good for me for 10 years, and that was 24 years ago, so I guess he did okay.
Yeah, I guess it must have been up in Minnesota. I remember getting in the plane. I think you and Lon were doing touch and goes. That's my last recollection of being up in the plane with y'all piloting.
That was in Colorado, probably.
Was that Colorado? Okay,
yeah,
somewhere. I just remember
I've flown with him several times when I'd go to Colorado. We'd go up and do some touch and goes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I can't fly anymore because I don't have a medical. I didn't get it renewed.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Let's see. We remember when we got that travel trailer. Was that in Carolina we got that thing? The travel trailer we kept for a while.
I think we were in Carolina then, yeah.
Because you were pulling it. I remember, what was that car that had that kind of slanted back?
It was a Mercury.
Mercury, yeah. Because I think that was the first car you pulled.
That was a pretty good one. Because we pulled it clear out to California and back, and we went up to Ann Arbor, Michigan. And let's see, was it there?
Said you had to have a safety chain. Somewhere they said.
What's the temperature like outside?
It's comfortable.
Shirt sleeve?
Pardon me?
Probably.
Okay.
We're rolling tape, by the way.
Let's see.
Because we took that quite a few trips there. I remember out west, and up to Canada.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly because we had it parked, and it wasn't in Ann Arbor. It was down. Maybe it was. Well, let's see. Let me think. Because we had it in I was up in I guess that was Michigan. Because mm-hmm. We had it parked down in a place that fixed them and everything else.
Yeah.
So I decided, I had it down there, so I decided, boy, I better go and take a look at that thing. I went down with your mother, and he said, I was going to sell this tomorrow or something.
Oh, goodness.
I said, well, no, it's mine. So I took it, and then I know we had it in North Carolina, because mm-hmm. I had it parked back there in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I went once to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and I stayed in it, and then you folks went on to California.
Mm-hmm.
And then I linked up with you when you were coming back through Arizona or somewhere.
I remember something like that.
But then, I got rid of it. Boy, I'd have to go back and take a look at the things, because I hadn't been thinking about it.
Yeah, we had a while. I think we took it up to Alberta.
Yeah.
Lake Louise one time, because that's the time that Mama had to double back and make sure the dog wasn't asphyxiated.
That's right.
And we took Romeo. So we had the trailer and the dog pulling it with a big old car. Was that?
Yeah.
That may have been were we pulling it with that Lincoln Continental at the time?
Yeah.
Remember that big old black car there? So that was quite a thing. Aunt Pearl had a small travel trailer too.
I remember way back.
She had a kind of a single, two-person trailer.
Yeah.
Remember that at the Grand Canyon. I vaguely recall a trip or two where she had hers. Yeah. A lot of fun. was amazing sleeping seven in that thing. We had
a double bed back there, and above it we had, you could sleep
two more,
one I guess or something, and then we ate our meals there, we laid out one and then a bunk above it. So
that's right. Lisa would take the bunk above.
Yeah,
that's right. The table folded down for two. Mom and you were in the lower back, mm-hmm. and then there was room for two in the upper back. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then seven. And,
yeah.
And how in the world that bathroom you could barely stand up in, but that was, I think they even had a shower.
Could have.
It wasn't much, but it somehow or another, seven people had that one bathroom.
Yeah, we went down to Myrtle Beach, mm-hmm. North Carolina, several times.
Yeah.
I know, because one time y'all slept outside.
Oh, my.
You had sleeping bags and something.
Must have been nice weather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, those are fun days.
Yeah, I remember crabbing one time, catching crab with get a string and some bait and just dangle it down there and pull them up.
Do you remember old Dr. Prather?
Dr. Prather.
We went up to his place in Delaware.
Okay.
He had been the state health officer in Maryland, I guess, but he had a place up in Delaware, and he and his wife... they sort of took a liking to us because mm-hmm. He was with the commission and for several years, and so he had us up there, and we caught a bunch of crabs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember nearly walking off the dock because they got out of the box and started chasing me. I thought,
yeah, that's right. Nearly
quartered me. I was petrified by that stuff. But they sure ate good. Those were blue crabs, I believe.
I don't know what they were.
Oh,
but
well, they were good. Put them in the pot. And they
yeah.
were good. I remember too. In Maryland at least, we used to pretty regular go to the hunts for Thanksgivings.
Yes. Helen,
she your cousin.
Yeah, Helen is my cousin, and I think her birthday is going to be yesterday or tomorrow or something.
Is she still around?
Pardon?
Is she still around?
Yeah, out of 13 of us, there's Helen, and Ida is up here in Edmond in a assisted living, I believe.
Yeah.
And then I are the only three that are still alive.
Oh, my.
But, yeah, Helen Hunt, and her first husband was Cecil,
mm-hmm.
and he was a lieutenant colonel in the Army, and he was responsible for me getting to Germany instead of going to Korea.
Oh, my.
he asked where I wanted to go, because he was in the office writing orders, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, you know, where are the places? Well, Spain, I thought, well, Spain would be a good idea. I said, no, you can't go there because they're all in civilian clothes and you know, very low-keyed stuff. So I said, well, how about Germany? So he said, okay. Mm-hmm. So next thing I knew, I had my orders to go to Germany. And so I went back and stopped in San Francisco. Let's see, I was going space available then because I had a Dodge car, mm-hmm. and had them do some repairs on the engine. And so I had that back in Fort Lee, but I went space available to San Francisco and met up with Charlotte, convinced her to go with me to Southern California, and then I'd send her back on the plane or something. And by the time we got between San Francisco and Los Angeles, I talked her into getting married. And said, well, let's go over to Reno and get... No, she wasn't going to do that. She had to have a church wedding. And Aunt Lila was in the back seat, sleeping. Anyway, so I said, well, why don't we find a school down here that would take you after marriage? Because the school where she was, you couldn't get married and be a nurse. So she's, I convinced her that we could find a school that would be compatible with her school. So went and found a place in Los Angeles where the director of admissions was a young lady that said, oh, you know, you'd have a great time in Germany, and I'll take you in school when you get back. So Charlotte says, okay. So we told her mother, and a week later we got married. But anyway, then, you know, she didn't get her nursing degree, and so she would take classes here and there and yonder, and finally